Good morning and hello again. Today, unlocking the lockdown, why the WHO expects us all to be wearing masks before too long. Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin invite smaller parties to fill in the blanks on programme for government. Reassurance for expectant mothers from a clinical midwife specialist. Feeling the pinch in farming, we'll hear from beef and dairy farmers. Also, insurers answer critics of their refusal to pay up. How GAA players are dealing with the COVID crisis. Back to your bookshelves, Rick O'Shea and Louisa Cameron on some of their old favourites. You can email todaysor at rte.ie, text us on 51551, and you can also tweet at todaysor. And of course, we'll bring you any developments in that scam story uncovered by Interpol. Today, the World Health Organization will issue guidelines to countries across the world on how they should prepare to exit the lockdowns imposed as a result of the coronavirus. David Nabarro is the WHO's envoy on COVID-19. He joins me now. David, good morning. Nice to talk to you again. We'll get to the lockdowns in a moment, but you were saying yesterday that you expected the wearing of face masks to be universal once people get back out into the world again. Can you just explain your thinking there?
The most important thing is that as we emerge from lockdowns and economies start operating again, there has to be a comprehensive approach to be assured that we're able to defend ourselves against the virus coming back and affecting our communities. And that involves, first of all, being able to find people with disease and ensure that they are isolated quickly and finding their contacts and isolating them. Now, of course, finding people with disease is always tricky because there are some people who've got the disease who are quite mildly affected. And so it's also going to be necessary, I believe, for people who are at risk of being exposed to be able to protect themselves. The most important thing is for health workers to have masks and other forms of gear so that they can be protected. Secondly, people who are sick need to be able to wear face coverings so that they don't infect others. Thirdly, people who are as the economies restart, needing to be up close to other people as part of their work, like hairdressers or people who work in supermarket checkouts, they ought to be able to wear masks so that they can reduce the likelihood that they will accidentally inhale coronavirus. And then I suspect that other people will want to wear masks just to be able to ensure that as they go about their daily work and lives, they can have a little bit more protection. And I also think that the wearing a mask is something that will be a way in which individuals can show that they're taking COVID seriously. And they will be expecting to stay 2 metres apart from other people as much as possible. They will be expecting to be careful if they are ill or if others are ill. It'll be a kind of badge of indicating that they are being responsible citizens. Of course, a homemade mask, which is what most of us will have to wear, because the special surgical respirators, N95, are not widely available. These homemade masks don't provide absolute protection, but they do provide us an opportunity to be a bit better protected when the virus is around in society. And that's the way it's going to be. This virus is not going to disappear, and we've all got to learn to protect ourselves as much as possible.
As I mentioned earlier, the World Health Organization will issue guidelines today on exiting lockdowns. Testing appears to be key, but we know there are problems with testing in many parts of the world, including here in Ireland. So what level of testing is needed, in your view, to allow for an easing of restrictions?
As I say, the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that societies are able to know and then defend themselves against this virus, even if they can't immediately test themselves or be tested. And that's because testing for the virus is a really complex thing to do. And ramping up testing all over the world so that everybody who has symptoms can quickly find out whether or not they have COVID is just an impossible task. Even European countries, as we're knowing, are finding it hard to ensure that testing is available for everybody. And this virus isn't going to stop and wait until we've got tests. So we have to be able to live with the virus in our midst and be able to defend ourselves even without the tests. And that's why I'm saying to everybody, please let's get serious about this. If we've got symptoms of respiratory illness, we're going to have to isolate. We're going to have to protect ourselves. We're going to have to protect our loved ones. That's the central feature. And coming out of lockdown can't wait until there's testing available everywhere. That's just an impossible dream. So we've got to be able to deal with this without having universal testing as much as we possibly can.
And what do you make of the fact that, for instance, yesterday, two of the European countries that have suffered most from COVID-19, Italy and Spain, have begun to ease their restrictions? For instance, in Spain, they're allowing construction work to resume, admittedly in a fairly limited way, and also some smaller shops being allowed to reopen in Italy.
The situation is that both of these countries, during the lockdowns, have invested hugely in what we call reinforcing community health structures, so that they've got health workers who are able to work with the local population in order to help them identify people who might have the virus and to be isolated, and their contacts to be traced and their contacts to be isolated. And what they've worked out is that they've got strong enough defences to begin limited release of lockdown. They're conscious that they may get some resurgence of disease, and they've got plans in place for what they will do if there are suddenly small outbreaks occurring, and how they will probably have to close down certain areas in order to reduce movement. And they've also put a lot of emphasis in strengthening their hospitals so that they can deal with cases that might arrive. It's that preparedness during the lockdown phase that's enabled them to say, OK, we will do a limited release amongst certain sectors, and we will be on the ready in case there is a further resurgence, and know exactly what we've got to do. And I think this will happen in other countries as well. It just depends on their perception of how well defended they are for when the lockdown is released and there's a risk of further cases appearing.
A key indicator, David, for the Department of Health in this country is that it wants to see the reproductive rate of the virus down below one before easing restrictions. Is that best practice in your view?
I do think it's good practice. I think it's actually extremely good precautionary practice, I should say, because once the reproductive rate of a virus in its current transmission goes below one, then you know that you've actually got the current outbreaks under control. And so that's an excellent step. And in order to get the reproductive rate less than one, you've got to get everybody conscious that this virus is dangerous, everybody treating it with respect, physical distancing wherever possible, and other precautions. Now, once that reproductive rate is less than one, and once you've got the whole of society ready for further cases appearing, then you can gradually release the lockdown. But you have to make sure that everybody understands this virus hasn't gone away. It's still there. It's still stalking us. And so you've got to maintain protection as far as possible, maintain defences as far as possible by being alert for new cases and being able to react quickly. I'm a super fan of what's happening in Ireland. And you know that I'm delighted that you've also got an Irishman as head of the Emergencies Response Programme in WHO. I feel that between you, you're really following the kind of guidance that WHO is giving and fitting it with the points that Tedros, the Director General of WHO, made yesterday when he talked about the steps for coming out of a lockdown.
Realistically, how long do you think it's going to be before people in this country or the UK can look forward to going back to race meetings, football matches, where there are large crowds congregating?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. And I do understand that for everybody, these are the kind of questions they desperately want answers to. We do know that when people congregate together, even in small gatherings, it provides an opportunity for this virus to move quickly from person to person. And individuals can get really sick, and unfortunately they can die. What I think we will have to work out as a society is how we can do these big gatherings like race meetings or football matches without at the same time exposing ourselves to a lot of risk. And perhaps the most important thing that I'm going to have to say now is that a lot depends on our own responsibility. Are we prepared when we're feeling unwell, when we've got a fever, when we've got a cough, to say to our mates, I'm sorry, I can't come to the football match or I can't come to the races because I think I might have the COVID. I've got to stay at home and I've got to isolate. It's that kind of responsibility that we've got to be able to show each other collectively. That's what's going to enable us to be able to start doing things together and doing it without the fear that somebody is going to accidentally give us the virus. Once I think that sense in society has emerged, and I don't think it'll take too long, then we'll be able to change the way we do things. I say to my friends, just remember what happened when it was discovered that this virus, HIV, was transmitted through sex. We had to change the way in which intimacy happened, and it was a very important shift. But people learned to continue to love each other in a different way. And they will manage to live with the virus. So just remember what happened when we discovered that contaminated water carried cholera. We had to introduce sanitation. We had to learn to live with that and, in fact, to value sanitation as part of our basic lives. So we'll have exactly the same with this. People will be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't come to the pub because I think I've got the virus. I must stay away from the other people. That's my civic duty, and I'm going to do it. Then I think life will really be able to kickstart again, because we will have the security that everybody is being responsible about this. Everybody is recognizing that the COVID is such a vicious virus, and we've seen what happens when it gets into old people's homes. We've seen what happens when people with other diseases like diabetes get it. We have to recognise that if we think we've got the virus, we've got to stay out the way.
Surely, though, in advance of a vaccine becoming widely available, it's hardly plausible that people can start to return to mass gatherings and the like, is it?
Well, you know, this is going to be for every government to decide on the basis of working out what societies are able to do. I don't know when this vaccine is going to come. I'm really levelling with you and your listeners here. The coronaviruses are not easy viruses to work with. They're really nasty in the way they cause disease, and they tend to stick around and go on causing disease. And they're not kind of nice candidates for vaccines like influenza viruses. And so I hear reports that scientists believe that they've got a vaccine. But what I want to see is when that vaccine has been shown to be effective in really offering protection, when that vaccine has shown to be safe in not causing people to get other illnesses and perhaps have even more problems, when that vaccine can be produced in large quantities at low cost, when that vaccine is available for distributing all over the world, then I'll say, yeah, we've got the solution. But we don't know when that's going to come. And also we've got some horrible other questions which we're dealing with, but they're like this. If you've had COVID, are you likely to get again, yes or no? And there's uncertainties about whether or not the body itself develops immunity against the virus so it doesn't come again. All these have to be worked out. So I think that as societies, we're going to have to learn to find ways to go about our normal business as much as we can with the virus as a continuing threat. Otherwise, we'll be paralyzed. And that's why I say it's up to us as people to find ways to do it. It's up to us as people to learn the codes of behavior we have to adopt with the virus in our midst.
David, always good to get your insights. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's David Nabarro there, Special Envoy on COVID-19 with the WHO. We're talking government formation with Fia Kelly after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.